Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Katie Nolan. That's Mina Kimes, Pablo Torre. I feel like pink in a sea of blue today. You guys have the exact same color shirt on. Let's do a show.
Yeah.
We did not plan it. Just want to be clear.
And I was here first.
You going to settle on the amount of buttons so we can get started or?
Nope.
Okay.
Is Shohei Ohtani having the most memorable season you've ever seen?
Yes. Can I just say yes and then we move on to the next person? He's incredible. He's a superstar. He's electric. He hit his 40th home run. Oh, was it just like a little bloop of it? No, it was a moonshot. It was an incredible home run. He also pitched 9 innings, which is a career high for him. 8 innings. He pitched 8 innings, which is a career high for him. He had 8 strikeouts. He did really well. He pitched 90 pitches and 69 of them were strikes.
Nice.
That's pretty nice. That's pretty nice.
We're still doing that.
Are we doing what? Saying stats?
What are we talking
Sorry,
about?
Mina, that I came with numbers prepared to argue when I discuss baseball. Because stats in baseball now are like short stories and you have to have them with you. Sorry I came prepared. Shohei Ohtani is incredible. I love him. It's wild to me that he's not a bigger star outside of baseball. And it's crazy because him and Mike Trout, two guys who we've been able to have this conversation about the face of baseball, are both based in LA. And it's still like they're famous in baseball.
Well, they're based in Anaheim. And I think that might be a big part of the reason why. But before I get to that, I do also want to pay tribute to Ohtani because what he's doing is so historic. It's almost hard to find a word to describe it other than historic. It's like the Russell Westbrook triple-double season or Mahomes coming out his first year and throwing 50 touchdowns. Like, it's just so amazing. It's almost hard to put it in context. He has surpassed Babe freaking Ruth. But my only concern is, unlike Ruth, he might not be in a position to win a lot of rings. And that brings us back to the Anaheim of it all. He is due for a big contract soon. The Angels have already given mega contracts to Mike Trout, and Anthony Rendon. They're going to pay Ohtani, but I'm not sure this is a team that's well-run enough to get all the pieces around him. I mean, it's a team that has literally never gone above the luxury tax, and that would be a shame because on top of all the amazing things Ohtani has done this year, I really want to see him play in October.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing about all of the superlatives you guys have thrown out about Shohei Ohtani, I don't think it's enough. I'm actually offended by the use of superlatives that you guys chose to deploy here because I don't think this is memorable. I think this is just flat out the best season we have ever seen. And I think that's where the comparisons, Mina, which I get to Westbrook or Mahomes, they begin to fall apart a little bit. And it's just because we have never seen this in this way in which someone is playing. It's like if Patrick Mahomes is also the best linebacker in the league, which is incomprehensible. And so what he is doing by maybe winning the Cy Young and definitively winning the MVP and leading the league in homers, he is redefining what it means to play baseball itself. And I'm sorry to like Barry Bonds, you know, but like you didn't get on the mound. And so you can't get in the conversation with this dude for best season ever, period, point blank. But where the Angels come in on this level is kind of interesting because you're right about all of that. They are super mediocre, and it's a shame that they're wasting the spotlight, so to speak. But I also don't know of any other team that was like less mediocre, better run, would actually use him in these ways because there's an element of recklessness. Like, you have this guy who's so talented and you get him like plausibly injured every time in multiple ways. I don't know if a better, wiser team would use him like this, and I'm glad the Angels have him for that reason.
Every team he was in negotiations with on the West Coast where he wanted to play said they would, including a team that was almost about to get him based in Seattle. They would have used him the way he wanted, and for some reason he decided not to play there, even though it is an objectively better city.
Mina, I said good teams.
Come on, guys. Let's not do this today. Come on. Hey, Mina, look back at the camera. All right, let's make some eye contact, you two. Come on.
No.
What's your reaction to KD and Draymond blaming Steve Kerr and Bob Myers for the Warriors breakup?
Okay, so Draymond has a new show, podcast. I feel like we just use words to mean all the words nowadays. But he's got it on Bleacher Report called Chips. Yes. Yesterday we saw a preview for it, which was basically just letting us know all the questions Draymond was going to ask. Now we have the clip and the answers.
It wasn't the argument. It was the way that everybody, Steve Kerr, act like it didn't happen. Bob Myers and tried to just discipline you and think that would put the mask over everything. I really felt like that was such a big situation for us as a group. The first time we went through something like that, we had to get that all out. We met the next morning and they said, all right, you slept on it, you ready to apologize. And I told them right then and there, I said, y'all about to this up. I said, the only person that can make this right is me and Kay. And there's nothing that y'all can do, and y'all are going to this up. And in my opinion, they it up.
I think so too.
There, I want so badly to just take the truth that exists in that room and allow it to be the truth in order to be able to discuss the interesting wrinkle that this would add to things. But I can't help but feel like we're missing big chunks of this story. Obviously, they're talking about the fight in 2018 that Draymond and KD had during that game. And what I feel like I'm missing is that Draymond mentions that he was spoken to by Kerr and Meyer for an hour and a half, thinking it was going to be a short meeting, and it ended up being an hour and a half. And basically, all we find out that they said to him during that meeting was that he had to apologize to KD. Now, I've been in hour and a half long arguments. And while, yes, you can just repeat the same thing over and over, you tend to also say other things. And so if you're going to say that the meeting was an hour and a half long that they made you talk, but then they say that all they told you to do to fix the situation was that you had to apologize to KD and to sleep on it, then where did you spend it? How did that doesn't make sense.
Look, on some level there is certainly a lot of nuance. On another, it seems very simple to me, which is that Bob Myers and Steve Kerr realized that Draymond Green needed to apologize to Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant at no point has disputed the fact that he did not like the way Draymond Green had originally treated him. So the question that I have is, why didn't Draymond Green apologize? Draymond Green seems to say that it's because he was asked to apologize. I don't know. That feels like something that maybe you could work out within yourself over the next several months. Because in reality, what you didn't do over those months is apologize. So I understand that Kevin Durant and Draymond Green both are very eager to find someone else that is not Draymond Green or Kevin Durant to be culpable for why the modern dynasty that was the Golden State Warriors broke apart explosively in this gossip-laden way. And I, by the way, love listening to these guys talk about their feelings, however I may object to the logic of their retelling here. I just think someone needed to apologize and they did it. And it's hard to blame someone else for that basic fact.
Well, the logic is very hard to follow. If you literally just listen to what they're saying, it doesn't really cohere. Like, on one hand, you have Kevin Durant complaining about management, Steve Kerr and Bob Myers, just moving on, pretending like nothing happened. Then on the other hand, you've got Draymond Green saying, this should have just been handled between us. Like, those two arguments do not make sense together. To me, this feels like two guys who had a fight that want to still be friends, mm-hmm. and don't want to acknowledge the fight, seeking a common enemy, which is a common strategy. And I think we have all experienced that at some point in our life and relationships. The problem is, one of these two guys still works with that common enemy in Draymond Green. So that's kind of awkward for him. I don't know. It's hard to analyze given the limited information we have, but something doesn't quite add up.
And look, you can take issue with the way that, like, Steve Kerr handled it. You could say, hey, if I were a coach, the way I would resolve conflict between two players is like this. And you can still admit that you are the reason that the conflict happened.
But the other part of this that's so unrelatable to me personally is that I just don't find it that hard to apologize. Like, I'll apologize if someone bumps into me. Like, I'm giving out apologies left and right. The idea that Draymond can't do it because his boss agrees that he should probably say sorry, yeah, that's where I'm clearly not one of these guys.
You are 10 to 15 minutes late every day and have never apologized.
Oh, that's true.
That is very different.
That's true.
I was definitely first in the chair today, so that apology would be coming from a place of lies.
Well, then I'm sorry.
I accept your apology on my behalf.
Up next on HQ.
Well, Katie, you know, Pablo's a great teammate. I understand what he brings to the table. I'm the best at some things. Pablo's good at other things. And then the internet just went, Mina Kimes, I'm the best. That is what we have done to end. Time to play the game that thinks the phrase dog days of summer is kind of unfair to dogs. Do you question?
You give us topics and events and we question them. First question, in what way?
Yeah, the dog days of summer are like summer, bad. Actually.
No, they're like the bad days of summer. And dogs
they are?
Do you question if right now is Andy Dalton's time?
If you ever notice that Charlie, our producer, says things really quickly when he asks the question, it's because he cannot get a word in without the three of us just making jokes about things that will never air on television. Andy Dalton, QB1. Justin Fields is back from that groin injury, but Andy Dalton is going to start this weekend in the preseason. He was asked about something relating to that. Here's what he had to say.
The thing is, there's so much excitement with Justin. And, I mean, it's deservedly so. I mean, he's a first-round pick, and just with everything that's gone on here, I mean, there's a lot of excitement with it. But I didn't feel like there wasn't excitement for me either. Like I've said before, Justin's going to have his time, and Justin's going to have a great career. But right now, it's my time, and so my focus is on being the best player I can be for this team and do everything I can to help this team win.
Is he wrong? No, it is his time. He's QB1. I just said it, and I said it on TV, which means that it's the truth. Is it a thing I would have said? Probably not. But, you know, we're different people. Maybe it is his time. Maybe he'll impress you. The only person that can control that is Andy Dalton or Andrew Santino if he decides that he wants to pretend to be a football quarterback and go in and play, because he could definitely get away with it and nobody would notice.
I mean, what did we want Andy Dalton to say?
Exactly.
That's what I think about when this question comes up, because he didn't even say it with his chest out. He said it literally actually with his chest concave. Like, he was kind of just like very apologetic about merely acknowledging the fact that temporarily for the time being he's QB1. So I guess we want to just roll himself in a rug and have people like walk on him. I don't really know what we want out of the guy at this point.
I am so glad we are all rallying behind Andy Dalton. Not as the starter, to be clear. Justin
Fields definitely not
starting. But this quote was circulating. Andy Dalton, it's my time. And then when you watch it in context, clearly he was responding to a question about, you know, dealing with a first round pick behind him, and he gave a nuanced answer. It would be like if, Katie, you asked me, are you better than Pablo?
And Nina, would you say you're better than Pablo?
Well, Katie, you know, Pablo's a great teammate. I understand what he brings to the table. I'm the best at some things. Pablo's good at other things. And then the internet just went, Mina Kimes, I'm the best. That is what we have done to Andy Dalton. And nobody do that to me.
It's not new. I'll just say.
Yeah.
It's not new. Yeah,
why am I only good at some things, but you're the best at other things?
Oh, I was going to ask what things.
That did not evade.
My follow-up question was, which things is Pablo good at?
Just to be clear here, Mina Kimes, Andy Dalton, Pablo Torre, Justin Fields.
Yes.
Thank you.
Can we also give credit to Andy Dalton for the glow up? Like,
the goatee, the beard. Why wasn't he doing that before?
I don't know. But once he figured it out, he figured it out. Good for him.
Yes.
Just be happy that he's here now.
Do you question whether Kevon Looney was trying?
Okay, Kevon Looney was at a youth camp up against the kid in this clip is a rising freshman. He's 6'5". Was he trying? Let's find out.
Okay, so Looney's on defense here.
Yes,
Looney in black.
He's playing him kind of hard.
Uh-oh.
He's reaching.
Oh, no. Oh, Kevon.
No.
Oh, no.
I think he was trying.
He was definitely trying.
He was trying so hard.
I can see the argument being made that he was trying, but in the interest of not hurting the guy's feelings, he maybe wasn't trying.
Oh, but his feelings, Katie, we're beyond that point. His feelings are unbelievably hurt. This was his own camp. This is his own basketball
camp. You can't put your name on it after that.
And a congregation of kids that were at one point, nanoseconds before, your biggest fans, because shout out to Kevon Looney's biggest fans who exist, he became the guy that a bunch of children are collectively laughing at, which is the worst group of anything to be laughing at you.
If I had a camp and I was an NBA player, I would simply not play defense. I would simply not put myself in that situation, especially if the camper was 6'5". I'd be like, nah, you know what? Nah, I can't risk an injury. I'm an NBA player.
Well, congratulations to that rising freshman on the new basketball camp that he owns, because that's his camp now. Here's what I'll say, too. That's actually the greatest sell for a lower level NBA stars basketball camp is that, like, you might be able to cook me. So why don't you come and get a video that might go viral and they'll talk about it on that weird show in the afternoon on ESPN.
Do you question if we should believe that Hunter Renfrow cooked Jalen Ramsey yesterday?
I hate to do this, but do you question if we should believe should just be like, do you question if he cooked? He didn't have to put, it doesn't matter. So there's reports that Hunter Renfrow cooked Jalen Ramsey at practice. And here is what Hunter Renfrow, who was asked, this feels like a cooking show now. The last two segments have just been about cooking, but here's what Hunter Renfrow had to say about it.
Jalen, and that's the beauty of it. If I can beat Jalen Ramsey, then I can beat anybody in the NFL because he's one of the best, and that's how I approach it. And he got me a few times today, and so hopefully tomorrow we'll make each other better again.
I've been trying to figure out who my boyfriend models his style after, and I now finally realize that Hunter Renfrow is his style icon. I'm so sorry to put that together sooner.
No, it's good luck,
Jalen Ramsey, you can imagine, took it really well, right? Let's see what he tweeted about it. I can't believe that y'all believe half the BS that people say for clicks. Y'all got to know at this point and do better than that, LOL. It's all love, but just know I'm really the chosen one. Thank you, God. Oh, there's more. Y'all enjoy y'all day, though, because I know I am, LOL. Even the haters, I still hope you enjoy your day and go make some money. Thanks, Jalen. Thank you, which I guess I would count me one of, because you didn't refute anything there. Other than that you weren't going to say anything and to not believe everything you read. So
he also didn't allow replies except for people that he follows and or mentioned. But the thing that really tipped it in the direction of, I think, Hunter Renfrow, Great British Bake Off to you, is the fact that no one replied, even among the people that you do follow, because everyone was just like, yeah, we're going to let you just be out there on an island that apparently is now owned by Hunter Renfrow.
Ooh.
Okay, so the thing about Hunter Renfrow is that even though he looks like Derek Carr's younger brother, Darren Carr, who they just let on the team for some reason, the dude is good. He has led the Raiders in catches the last 2 years. He is crafty. He is an incredible route runner. He has great hands. He's like one of the more underrated slot receivers in the NFL. Put some respect on his name and try to do it without leaning on every single stereotype we use to describe small white receivers. I challenge you.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Like stereotypes is he saying that he looks like Derek Carr's younger brother that we let go onto a team?
He does. He really does. Or I was going to go with the substitute teacher, but that, you know, seemed less insulting to me.
Time to play the game that still doesn't know how many buttons to button on its shirt. See? Oh, no.
Oh, you tell us what's on television tonight. We tell you if we're intrigued or not. This is like there's 1 week a year you can wear this shirt, if that makes you feel better. Because it's a turtleneck and a tank top. This is the only week.
Tonight at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, Patriots and Eagles.
Why do the Patriots keep playing on Thursday? What's that all about? Yeah, sure. Of course I'm intrigued. The Eagles obviously need receivers. They drafted Jalen Reagor. Let's see a catch that he made in practice.
This is a good catch.
What?
Oof. Boom.
I need a different camera angle.
I mean,
I don't understand the physics of it.
Yeah, that's confusing to me, but I am very, very impressed.
I don't understand. That doesn't make any sense to me. That I don't understand it. Pablo, are you intrigued?
I'm very intrigued. I also don't understand it. I also tend to understand that, like, Eagles fans, like, the standard for success for a wide receiver is don't get made fun of by a guy who just caught a baby, who was flung out of a burning building like Nelson Aguilar. So I am excited for the Jalen Reagor era to proceed.
Okay. Main, are you intrigued?
I'm intrigued, of course, by this game. But also, like, as far as Eagles wide receivers go, you know who I bet they wish they had? Hunter Renfrow. Okay. He would be dominant.
I've heard he's good.
I'm never going to shut up about him.
Honestly, you haven't stopped thinking about him since last segment. You just keep talking about
him. Yeah, we went through an entire 10-minute break in between segments, and you just talked about Hunter Renfrow. That's not even a joke.
She just kept saying, he's so good. All right, that's it for another episode of Highly Questionable. Aren't you glad you watched? If you want more Mina Kimes, you can find her NFL Live or the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny as her podcast. Pablo's podcast is called ESPN Daily because he's important, and they put the name of the company on his podcast.
Yep.
That's where you can find them. They're my friends.
I'm good.
And check out Sports with Katie Nolan.
Oh, thanks, Mina.
Oh, yeah.
He's good.
Say it again. They'll believe it.
Hunter Renfrow is so good. I can't stress this enough.
Why are you getting so excited about it?
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.